And I'm starting at verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. So we have been meditating from the book of Mark, and we are still in first chapter. As I said, Mark has the word immediately 41 times, unlike other gospels. And then even in the first chapter, we have seen so many immediately words. As he was going very speed, we seem to be going very slow, because it is the word of God. You may also be wondering why again verses 38 and 39 are read again. The last time when we meditated in the previous verses, we said that Jesus came out from synagogue, entered Peter's house, healed Peter's mother-in-law, and the word went out. He became very popular at once. Lots of people came by evening for healing because it was a Sabbath day. And Jesus healed many, many people, irrespective of who they were, whether they were believing him or not. And then next day, Jesus was found isolated, spending time with the Lord. And Peter went around, Peter and his friends, and found him. "We all are looking for you, hoping that your name and fame is now the time. You have to do so many things, and people were searching for you, lots of people." But Jesus said, "No, let us go on to the next towns." He didn't want to settle down there and keep healing people. No, he wants to go to people. So our first point, I have only 4 points. The first idea is Jesus' vocation. Verses 38 and 39, and he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went out throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So the essence of Jesus' mission on earth is to preach the message of God's kingdom and bring healing and salvation to humanity. It is the model we need to adapt. Jesus said, "For that is why I came," expressing a self-understanding of his own mission. It is a timeless example of purpose-driven living. He knows his business. A focused ministry without ambiguity. Jesus intentionally removes himself from the seeking crowds and then goes on to the next towns, obeying the Father's call to preach the gospel around the Galilee and other places. The parallel passage in Matthew chapter 4 verse 23 affirms Jesus' vocation, where it says, "And he went out throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." This involves a lot of commitment. Walking from village to village is physically exhaustive, mentally draining, and spiritually witnessing the deprivation of human souls being possessed by demons. In a society often driven by self-interest and material pursuits, Jesus' calling serves as a reminder of the importance of selfless service in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. It's worth noting that the gospel writers didn't document all the miracles Jesus performed. They likely numbered in thousands. The phrase, "he healed them all," is constantly used in all the Gospels. Luke 4 and 6, Matthew 12, and also in Mark 6, several times he mentions, indicating that he probably healed all kinds of people, whether they believed him or not. He cast out demons from unwilling individuals who were under the control of forces reluctant to be expelled. Some scholars suggest that Jesus eradicated almost all the diseases in the land of Israel, a scourge, effectively cleansing the land from human misery. Among thousands of miracles, the four Gospels recorded only 37 altogether. This suggests that these specific miracles were chosen because individuals who were healed might have played prominent roles in the early church, serving as ministers or being powerful witnesses. It's even possible that some of them followed Jesus throughout his ministry, traveling alongside the 12 disciples. For instance, blind Bartimaeus followed Jesus after he was healed, Mark 10:52. And it is suggested that he might have been one of the 120 believers in the upper room in Jerusalem where the Holy Spirit descended upon them. These chosen miracles have also served as Jesus' divine power and a messianic proof of his divine identity, John chapter 10, verse 37 to 38. Now, there are also many other things, John said in chapter 21, verse 25. And he said, there are many other things Jesus did, where every one of them to be written, I suppose, that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Although it sounds very hyperbolic. But what he was trying to convey is that Jesus did many, many thousands of wonderful things. But in the Gospels, all four Gospels, only 37 miracles have been highlighted. And each miracle has a purpose. So therefore, one of the first miracles that we see in his ministry was healing a man with leprosy. So let us dwell on it. The second point is healing the leper. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Lepers were untouchables and outcasts because it was a deadly disease. And they were not supposed to come anywhere near to the normal people. Among the rabbinical list of untouchables, the first one was dead body, and the next one was the leper. The rabbi said, upwind, a leper can come within 6 feet of a person. Downwind, 150 feet. Josephus wrote that lepers were treated as if they were living dead men, corpses. One rabbi said he wouldn't eat an egg purchased on the street where a leper had walked. Another rabbi prided himself on throwing stones at lepers. But in today's passage, the leper came near to Jesus through the crowd, disregarding the law of Moses. He begged Jesus with strong pleas, kneeling before him. Matthew adds in his parallel passage, he worshipped Jesus. Luke adds, he fell on his face with a posture of humble adoration and called Jesus as Lord. Such behavior occurs only before an emperor or before an ancient king. In other words, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior because he believed that he would heal him. In verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. Leave alone going near to him, Jesus touched him by declaring, I will and be clean. This is outrageous in rabbinical standards. Most people thought, what on earth is going on? Jesus would obviously become ritually unclean because he touched a leper. Verse 42, and immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. What we are seeing here is the leper broke all conventions by reaching out to the Lord out of desperation. Jesus broke all conventions by touching him out of compassion. It seems that when human desperation meets divine compassion, the result is a new creation and a born-again experience, giving rise to new life with new hope. In a bustling city, a homeless person seeks help while most pass by. Indifferent. A professional on his way to a meeting stops, acknowledging the person's humanity. He offers a warm meal, garnering approval on social media. He got thousands of likes on the tab. However, this tale reveals a cautionary truth. Human compassion can lead to sinful pride when celebrated without discretion. Today, in the name of love, compassion, and mercy, sin is blessed and celebrated. Unlike the cautionary tale, the passage reveals God's compassionate response to the suffering world. Hence, Jesus touched the leper, declaring, I am willing, be cleaned. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, Jesus said, come away to his disciples to a desolate place and rest because you are tired. You've been doing a lot of work because he sent them to preach the gospel and healing the people. They went by boat, but people recognized them, ran ahead, and large crowd awaited. When Jesus saw them, the Bible says, when Jesus saw them, he had compassion. For they were like sheep without shepherd. Man's desperation and divine's compassion are seen throughout the gospel narratives, especially in the healing ministry of Jesus. My third point, transformation demands obedience. Verse 43, and Jesus sternly charged the leper and sent him away at once, and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, But go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing that Moses commanded for a proof to them. In other translations, for the testimony. But he went out and began to talk freely about it. Look, the word freely. And to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This man has no idea why Jesus was preventing him from talking about his healing. Once he got his life back and thought he would do a community service, instead of going to the temple to give thanks to God, as Jesus asked him to do. In the Old Testament, when someone thought a leper was cured, there was a process laid out in Leviticus chapter 14, 13 and 14. It involved an examination, offerings and sacrifices at the temple. It's a big process. So Jesus followed this law, including both the moral and health laws laid by Moses, which aimed to protect Israel from contagious diseases. Hence, Jesus tells the healed leper to go to the priest, as priests were like health officials in those times, according to Leviticus 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Say nothing to anyone." But he did exactly the opposite. Jesus said to him to go and show himself to the temple priest and offer for his cleansing. But he did exactly the opposite by not going to the priest, but went around to everyone spreading the word about himself. "Look, I got my life back. I am now a free man." See, interesting words. But he went out and began to talk freely about it. See how easily we misuse our freedom. Believe me, in the Bible, freedom always comes with discipline and responsibility. Freedom is not freedom, it is actually a responsibility. So he got his freedom back, but he misused it and spread the news against Jesus' command. There is no thankful heart to God in him. He rebelled against Jesus' stern charge. It's a test of obedience, isn't it? So the acid test of a true faith is in the obedience. Jesus said in John 8:31, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Is this man a true follower of Jesus? No, he is a rebel. He only cared about himself and was not fit to be Jesus' disciples, because Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandment." John 14:15. The purpose of Jesus asking him to go to Jerusalem temple is to ask him to show himself to the priest and to make an offering for his cleansing as a testimony that he was healed by the divine power through Jesus. The temple priests should know that what Jesus has been doing to the people. A chance for them to acknowledge who Jesus was. That was Jesus' original intention. In fact, going to Jerusalem temple involves walking approximately 70 miles as he was healed and fit to travel that distance. In Jesus' healings, there is no rehab. In verse 31, when Peter's mother-in-law's fever was rebuked by Jesus, she got up at once and served her household, including Jesus and his disciples. See the energy that creates through his healing. It is against the medical profession. Am I right? It is against all the science. We have steroids, but it has side effects. This is not a steroid job. It is a proper healing, the divine power that creates a new creation. a transformation. In fact, going to Jerusalem has bodily energy to travel 70 miles walking. And in verse 31, when Peter's mother-in-law was healed, he served his household and the disciples. You see the lives of transformation and conversion in this particular leper. This was leper's mission. What is his mission? He was chosen to be a missionary to the priests in the temple of Jerusalem. But he rebelled and went far away from the command like Jonah. How sad. He lost missional ministry. If he had gone to the priests, they must have been shocked. They would have realized the divine power in this man. We need to find our own place in the church. Who are you for the Lord? Disobedience is an obstruction to Jesus' ministry. His disobedience messed up the chance for him not only to tell the priests, but by spreading the news everywhere, he made it harder for Jesus to do his work. In verse 45, it says, he told everyone so much that Jesus couldn't go into cities anymore, but had to stay in less crowded places. How sad it is. How sad it is. He created problems to Jesus' ministry. Oh, it is sad. He lost the opportunity. The Jewish historian Josephus writes that there are about 240 towns and villages around Galilee. Jesus wanted to go to all of them. That's what he said in today's reading, verses 38 and 39. Let's go to all the towns and the villages and preach. That was his mission. But what happened? This one man who had benefited from Jesus destroyed the opportunity for Jesus to go to the towns. You remember in one story when Jesus visited a town, the villagers said, please don't come. Why? Because our town is beautiful, beautiful gardens. We don't want people to tread along all here, disturb us. We have a peaceful village. No, don't come. Because crowds following him, crushing him. I am sure the leper never realized how much damage he brought to Jesus' ministry. Jesus could not continue his mission as he wanted because he showed compassion and kindness to this man. In return, he damaged Jesus' public ministry. Jesus couldn't go into cities to teach or preach the gospel due to overwhelming excitement and unrealistic expectations. Jesus faced too much hysteria. As a result, Jesus retreated to desolate places, avoiding crowded areas to allow the excitement over the leper's cure to subside. Luke adds that during this time in the wilderness, Jesus dedicated his time for prayer. You see, when you are troubled, when you are crushed, when you're completely insulted, rejected, spend time in prayer. That's what Jesus did. You see, that's the beauty of prayer. There is a great solace and comfort when you spend time in the Lord. If you are panicked, yes, you are a human being, you're panicked. But take it to the Lord in prayer. And that's what Jesus did. We have to imitate Jesus. The whole problem is we don't want to go to Jesus. We want solutions. Quite often it happens with husband. If wife says, see, you know, I have so many problems, then immediately he thinks about solution. That's quite often happens. They don't want solution. Yesterday, my daughter was saying, listen to me first what I'm going through. Don't talk about solution. It's not the solution they want. They want us to hear their problems. This is so important. That pastoral listening is the essence of our Christian calling. In modern times, it's like we have received sensitive or private information, maybe about someone's personal life or a confidential matter. We have a choice to handle the information responsibly as instructed, akin to obeying Jesus' instructions to the healed man, or to share it widely without discretion. Trustworthiness is a great virtue. But sometimes, in the name of prayer, we gossip, unknowingly causing harm to individuals or groups and not realizing the damage we bring into their lives. Let me close with the application. The first point is purposeful living. Jesus exemplifies a focused and purpose-driven life centered on preaching, healing, and salvation. What is your driven force? You got to think about yourself. What is your role? It is better to give than to receive. Are you a receiver or a giver? Friends, church always needs you. There is so much of work. If God gives you time, if God gives you talent, if God gives you strength, energy, health, be thankful to God and serve Him. That's what Jesus is doing. Despite the problems that He faced. When He faced the problems, what did He do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. What a model. Beautiful. Secondly, commitment and sacrifice. His ministry demands commitment, involving physical, mental, and spiritual dedication. In other words, it is obvious that we have to set our priorities. What is your priority? Is your Creator a priority or not? Selfless service is the third point. In a self-centered society, Jesus emphasizes the importance of sharing the gospel through selfless service. Church ministry is part of gospel ministry. I want to set up a program which I want to share with you. If any new person comes, as a family, would you like to receive him in your home and have a meal with him? Talk about faith. Encourage him to come to church. I want that ministry. That brings a lot of impact. Transformation and obedience. The leper's story illustrates the transformative power of divine compassion and the test of genuine faith through obedience. Lastly, responsibility in communication. The consequences of the healed leper's disobedience highlights the importance of responsible and trustworthy information handling in personal and ministerial contexts. I will close my sermon with a small story. Michael Kirwan, a very popular philanthropist of the Catholic Church in the United States of America, wrote his first experience of meeting homeless people. One night, as I brought down a large gallon jug of split pea soup and set it down on the cement block near the heating vent where the homeless people gathered, a rather rough-looking fellow picked up the jar of soup and in one motion broke the jar over my head. Instead of running away, I asked the man why he had done that. These were probably the first words I had ever spoken to any of the homeless people. He told me, "I was doing nothing more than bringing food to the dogs. I was bringing food, setting it down like I was feeding them out of a pet dish, and then just walking away. He said, talk to us, visit us, we don't bite. Michael did begin visiting them. What happened that night, he said, was that a first barrier that had broken in my perceptions of homeless people. I realized that these men and women on the street had feelings just like me. They wanted to be loved and respected and listened to. And they cared that someone cared about them. But just giving food and blanket was not enough. Jesus broke all the conventions and touched the leper, brought new creation and new life and healing. He loved grace and mercy and looked after the humanity in his day. And still, what is your role? What is my role? St. James Church, members of the church who are sitting here, the Lord is speaking to you. Hear his words and sort out your heart with him. Amen.